Welcome to Manager Tools. After you get your goals, part three. This cast answers these questions. What do I do when I get my goals from my boss? What do I do if my boss doesn't give me clear goals? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
We've recently made a change to our website, manager-tools.com, which allows for us to list for sale every remaining Virtual Effective Manager conference for the remainder of the year. Right now online, you can sign up for a Virtual Effective Manager conference event in October, November, or December. If you're wanting to join us but must delay, it's all right. Make your own choice today.
Okay, so once you've done all that, and let's say everyone agrees with your goals and they think what you've done is great, there's still one more meeting to hold, right? You have to finalize it with the team.
Yeah, you finalize. And I'll just mention again, you might have had two of those last meetings. And look, if you're a new manager and you don't know what you're doing, don't be afraid to have three. Just don't. If you make some progress, but not enough, and then you make some more progress. And look, if in the second meeting, you realize that the reason you didn't get all the way is because you've got one stick in the mud. You've got one person saying, no, I don't like that. No, I don't like that one. No, I don't like that one. Then override them and say in the middle of the meeting, when you realize that, when you realize they're working for their own ends and they're not trying to collaborate, when they say, no, I'm not comfortable with that one. And you can say, okay, thanks for your input. I accept it. We'll consider it. That one's a done deal. Let's move on to the next one. Okay. You can, using your role power, we don't want you to use it too much, but you can do that. And I suspect after that, that person won't speak up too much and they'll be the one slouching with their shoulder blades below the back of their chair. And then when the meeting's over, if you felt they were not collaborative, not communicative, maybe even slightly disruptive or selfish, don't hesitate to ask them to stay behind and say, hey, look, everyone else was trying to work together here and you weren't. What's going on? If you wanted to give them feedback, you say, hey, can I give some feedback? When you say that won't work and you don't have a better idea, that comes across as selfish. Can you work on that for me? Okay. And, you know, there may be several instances and you might say, can I give you some feedback about the meeting? You use the event-based feedback model. If you don't know what that is, there's a cast for it on the feedback section of the Map of the Universe, where I would say, can I give you some feedback about the meeting? And he would say, sure. I said, when you did that, that wasn't helpful. When you did that, that was directly contradicted what I had suggested the whole meeting was for. Can you do that better? When you did this, that wasn't helpful either. Can you do that better? Okay. And I'm just going to go through all the things I didn't like. And then I might at the end say, and this isn't feedback, but if we're going to have a meeting where we're going to be collaborating and you're going to take your toys and go home, if you're going to pout, if you're going to cross your arms and slouch down in your chair because I disagree with you on one or two things, that's not professional. It's not impressive. It's disrespectful to your peers. I don't consider myself disrespected. Maybe that's what you intended. I just think you were behaving poorly, and I'd like you to change that. I was going to do an entire podcast about that, but I don't think I need to now. Okay, so we've had one or two or three meetings. Now we're going to finalize our goals. Even if everybody agreed with the goals, even if everyone kind of goes, wow, I think we're there. There is one more meeting to do, and that's once you've finalized everything, or let's say you got to 90% and the team trusted you to do the last 10%. And you're not going to, let's say of the 25 goals, I'm making that up, that the entirety of your six persons, five and you, came up with. Even if you cut out two and added one more in terms of getting everybody across the finish line, you still want one more meeting. And it is for you to present the final goals. Okay? Put it everything together in a simple presentation. You don't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be a PowerPoint. It doesn't need to be a keynote. Ooh, I just came up with a new word, power note.
PowerPoint.
Yeah. Those are portmanteaus. It can be a spreadsheet if that's how your team likes to work. I wouldn't do it that way, but I could understand how some people would. I think that you don't want to present from a spreadsheet where everybody's looking at their screens of their laptops. But look, if you're doing this in 2020 and people are working from home, then you're probably going to have to share screens. And if you are doing this in 2020 or even in 2021 and you've got working from home problems, the solution to that is to have people create their goals in Word or Pages or ByWord or whatever text editing software you like and share their screen. And now I know what you're saying. Wait a minute. Why don't I just email everybody a Word document, right? In 12-point Helvetica.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
No. First of all, not everybody will print it out. Not everybody will call it up. And you'll be talking to their foreheads. They won't pay any attention at all. Okay. But if you're on a Zoom call, for example, then they're going to open up the screen. You can share your screen. And what you want to do is have done your four or five goals in like 20-point type on one piece of paper so they can read it easily. They cannot read, most people, I don't think, can read 12-point type in a Word document that's coming through a laptop computer. I just don't believe they can if they're sitting at the right distance to have a normal experience in Zoom. So you'll have to basically, it's the equivalent of typing a big piece of flip chart paper. So, you know, some 20-point type and maybe some 16 or 14-point type in there that undergirds a couple of the goals to show a metric or some detail that's important. That's what I would do. And I got started that way because I started thinking about somebody presenting, just sharing, you know, an Excel spreadsheet with everybody. If I were meeting in person, I would write it up on a whiteboard real big so everybody can see it no matter where they are in the room, or I would do flip charts in advance. And by the way, this is called visual record keeping. It is far better for everybody to be staring at the same visual record, at the same document, at the same words, at the same thing, then giving out those a version of that thing, a spreadsheet on somebody's laptop, a Word document that they could print, a PowerPoint or a Keynote that they could print, and assume they are doing it. Because by the way, if it's not on their computer, when they are looking at it in their hands or on their desk, they're not looking at everybody else in the meeting. Whereas if you're in a meeting, you can see and feel how everybody else is doing, even as you're looking at the shared visual record of your discussion. Okay. All right. So the point of you doing this is to present you and the team's work back to the team and gain agreement. Now, you don't have to have some formal, okay, raise your right hand. Are we on board with this? You don't, if you don't want to. But you might if you have that kind of team. But the point of this is to officially codify the goals. Say, okay, these are our goals.
Yeah, and you want people to make a public agreement that they understand them and they're committed to them. That's part of, yeah, you know, getting people behind doing it.
Yeah. And if the same person that was petulant in the last meeting is sitting there not looking at the goals, when you say, okay, let's go over them one more time, high level, take 5 minutes. Here's what we're going to do. These two goals are in conflict. We've agreed how we're going to adjudicate that conflict. Here's what we're going to do. Everybody cool with this one? Cool with this one? Cool with this one? And the person's just sitting there, arms crossed, not paying attention, fiddling with their phone.
We're having a different discussion.
Yeah. It depends on the person. You may choose to call them out, or you could wait until afterwards. I probably wouldn't call them out. It would take a pretty significant, maybe if they're just having a bad day and I could tease them and I know they would perk right back up and join the conversation, that's great. But if there has been any latent sort of petulance, then I probably would say to them, hey, why don't you step outside if you're not going to be engaged? Or I'll just say, would you please join us? And if he doesn't, then I'll just wait until afterwards. And I would not give them feedback in this instance. And the reason why I would not give them feedback is because this is one of the most important conversations we're going to have over the course of the next year. That kind of behavior is tearing down the team, And if it's the second or third instance of it, I might choose to give them feedback about the behavior. And then I might go further and say, what you're doing is offensive to the team. It's not professional. And it needs to change. If it doesn't change, there's no place for you here. I could absolutely see myself doing that, because that's not like being a little bit miffed in a weekly staff meeting. That's not like having an off day in a one-on-one. That's not like going to a meeting with somebody else and being a little bit snarky, right? This is different. This is you and your colleagues agreeing on your goals that you're going to be held accountable for over the course of the next year. Okay. If you have done this, and you have been trying, at the same time that you're codifying goals, figuring out what your metrics are going to be, and your reporting and your tracking, you've probably discovered something. Mixing those two things is bad. Okay. There's goal setting and then goal agreement, and then there's reporting and tracking and measuring. If you try, as you get close, if you think you're 90% of the way there to your goals, and then you say, okay, now, as we go the last little bit, let's agree on our metrics. You say, okay, we're going to do both. You will find that you will start getting disagreement on the goals creeping back in as you discuss measurement. I've seen it happen a bunch of times. It took me several instances to realize we started backsliding on the goals when we started talking about measurements. Okay. Your team is going to be tired. The psychologists call this, they are suffering from a low ego strength, which is the ability to make smart decisions, by the way. And your ability to make decisions throughout a day is lessened by every decision you make, interestingly enough. So lots of decisions prior lead to poor decisions that are made at the end of all the others. So just nail the goals.
We've got a ticker on top of the website showing how many one-on-ones and feedback people are reporting each week. Did you know it comes from Roadmap? Every week, managers all over the world log their one-on-ones and feedback. It tells their organization how well they're maintaining their relationships. It takes less than a minute each week for me to report my data. And it's a weekly reminder that communicating with my directs is crucial to the success of the organization. It keeps me on track. Roadmap comes with a personal license and our client trainings. If you want Roadmap for yourself or for your team, you can visit the website and purchase a personal license, or reach out to Maggie, maggie@manager-tools.com, to see about getting your team trained. I'd love to see that ticker go up.
Okay, so we're going to have this essentially last step of systematizing the reporting responsibilities once the goals are in place.
Right, but separate processes.
Yeah. After you've presented your goals, have another meeting, or you could do it another meeting, or you could say, okay, those are our goals. We're not changing those goals. Now, how are we going to report on them and track them? If the first meeting took 5 minutes, okay. If everybody's on board, raise your right hand. We're good to go. Great. If you want to keep going in the same meeting, great. But I would say-
But if it's 2 hours, I would separate meeting.
Yeah, I wouldn't go 2 hours. Maybe as part of your reporting and tracking, you'll dedicate, say, 20 minutes in your staff meeting for a round robin review of progress and status. You cannot say, actually, you can say, it's just not a smart thing to say. So let me say that differently. One of the most inefficient things that happens in organizations today is a manager and her team agree on a set of goals. It's pretty obvious that Project A supports those goals. And so because we worry about missing our annual goals, not that they necessarily need to be annual, we start reporting on Project A as a, the equivalent of our goals. Hey, we decided that we are going to measure these five things. And oh, by the way, it's pretty clear that these three or four things that we're going to do, these projects, these initiatives, these sales pushes, these new pieces of software we're going to buy, or these changes we're going to make that is going to allow this cost saving, the project becomes representative of the goal. Okay. But that's bad thinking, because the project is just something you're doing to get to the goal. What ends up happening is people start imbuing the project with the power of the goals, And as in result, we start talking about the project, but we don't ever connect it back to the goals. So when you say, okay, we're going to give 20 minutes in our staff meeting to go over our goals, you can't have people reporting on project X and Y and Z during this portion of the staff meeting. This portion of the staff meeting starts with, okay, here are our annual goals. Now, maybe you've decided to break them down into quarterly goals. Please remember, you should be more than halfway when you're halfway through the year, partially due to, for many people in the Western world, the holiday season, but also because if you're really hard on things, if you're really tough and no nonsense and very direct, and you're not afraid to tell people you're behind, you're behind, you're behind, in the first 6 months, the last 6 months will be easy because most people underinvest in their annual goals in the first 3 to 6 months and then attempt to make it up, realize they're not going to make it up, and then are super glad that their boss doesn't review their goals with them at the end of the year and say you completely failed. Okay. So maybe you decide, this is a suggestion, that you take 20 minutes in your staff meeting and every person reports on their portion of the annual goals. Don't laugh at this, okay? If you don't do it week to week to week to week, if you don't have any metrics for it, that's going to be a problem. Now, look, you can use manager tools one-on-ones to do this, but it's harder than it looks to be talking to everybody every week. You could choose to say once a month, my portion of the one-on-one is going to be a review of your annual goal progress. Just keep in mind that every one of those months is essentially 10% of the year. If you have a bad month, you've lost 10% of your traction. Now, you can do it, but you'll notice I said my half, the manager's half. You don't want to mandate to your directs that if you use one-on-ones, some part of their portion of your one-on-one is going to be used to go over their goals. No, that's soft agenda setting. Yeah.
We don't do
and that. That's counter to the principles of manager tools 03s. Now, look, you could do that, and then you could do something else, and you could do something else, and then your one-on-one is no longer a manager tools one-on-one. It's just a reporting process.
It's the way I used to do one-on-ones before you consulted.
They're briefing me on what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's awesome. They come in prepared. They talk for an hour. I ask a bunch of questions. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah.
No, don't do it, folks. Don't do it.
Yeah. So now in your portion of the one-on-one as the manager, you could ask them to cover those things. And if somebody says to you, hey, you said last week you're going to cover this. I want to cover it. Say, no. We're going to cover it during my portion. You don't have to talk about this. You need to come ready to talk about it because who goes in to see their boss without knowing what their status is, what their metrics are, what their reporting is regarding their daily, weekly, monthly, yearly goals? Nobody, I think. Actually, a lot of people do, but they shouldn't.
Not smart people.
Is a good management word. Yeah, exactly. So you're going to have to cover goal status and progress and problems in your portion of the one-on-ones. Now, the first few times you do that, it's going to eat up most of your one-on-one because you're going to have to get used to remembering every single person's goals and objectives and having some sort of note-taking device so you can keep track and so on. You could also set up online systems. You could break down your goals into 50 weeks of the year. Say you're going to do 2% each week. By the way, that usually doesn't work because of the compounding of errors, but you can use project tracking or reporting software that allows everybody to look at somebody's screen, okay? A shared site. There's all kinds of programs for that. I think the reason there's an awful lot of project management, both complex and simplistic software, is because a lot of software people who learned how to write software discovered that their life is project management, being involved in projects, either managing it or being managed. And they don't like whatever tool they were asked to use. And so they decide to write project management software. And I've not found one that I absolutely love. There's a lot that I like, but not one that I love. Look, software is great for asynchronous updating, reporting, reviews. You know, your direct finishes something. She goes in and updates something on the website. And you can look at it anytime you want. Why you would go into a one-on-one with somebody looking to talk about their goals, and if there was some sort of shared reporting, you didn't spend 2 minutes looking at the shared reporting before you went into one-on-one. I don't know. Look, on the other hand, you know, I mentioned software people wanted to come up with their own project management software. Whatever you do, Don't burden your annual or quarterly or semi-annual goals with a project of, well, in order to track these, we'll need to come up with some new project management software. So one of our projects will be to vet, test, and customize and purchase or lease brand new project management or tracking software. Don't do it. Okay. It's a waste of time. And I promise you, whatever they're complaining about now and whatever suite of tools you use, if you use electronic tools, they will find simply something different to complain about in the new one. Whatever you do, keep it simple. The key to reporting is not the venue or the software or the presentation or the graphics. The key is discipline.
Isn't it always?
Yeah. And discipline can't be decided upon in advance. It has to be delivered real time for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Discipline is the hero of boredom. And there's some boredom in our professional lives. And discipline is the way you conquer it.
All right. So summarize this thing.
Yeah. Whether your boss does his job or not, whether he or she has goals for you, you can still do your job for your team by collaborating with them on what their goals will be. Draft something, iterate over a couple of weeks, separate your goal design process from your reporting process, and don't think that software or graphics will provide what really matters, which is discipline week in, week out. That's it.
Yeah. Awesome, dude.
Sorry it went so long.
We've mentioned a couple podcasts. There's Getting Your Goals from Your Boss. If you haven't listened to that, you might find that terribly useful. And I think we mentioned Professional Subordination as well.
We did.
Another great podcast. So folks, if you want some supporting information about what we've talked about here, go to the website, www.manager-tools.com, and do a search for those. I think you'll enjoy them.
Cool.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. And we'll come back next week with a new topic. In the meantime, have a great one. Take care.